trip. Won't he yet remember Brother Shoemaker and them in prayer? Of course, Brother Mike's grandmother passed away, and they went to the funeral. Guess they're coming back tomorrow, so we want to pray for traveling safety for them. Thank the Lord for giving us His traveling mercies while we were gone. Was in a good meeting and good preaching. And Brother Tim Copeland, Brother Von Morton, they done a great job and made it home. We got in Kansas City about 11:30 Friday night, and so got in here about 2 or so Saturday morning. So the Lord gave us a good trip, and we're thankful for that. Psalm chapter 77, one verse. I'd like to read Psalm 77. And one verse, verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? I want to talk to you about thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Will you pray with us? Eternal God, we're so thankful for your goodness and your kindness. Ask you to help us today. Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. We appreciate you, God. Ooh, touch our mind, God. Illuminate us, God. Speak to our hearts today, oh God. Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Appreciate you, God. You may be seated. Amen. Brother Andy, move a little closer up here. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. I want to give you a little lesson today on the importance of the sanctuary, or God being the center of our life. When God's the center of our life, really His house is the center of our life. I heard an old elder teaching years ago. He was quite a noted teacher from the state of Indiana. He's dead now. And heard him say this on more than one occasion. He said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, in the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost, you receive three loves in your life. First, you'll receive a love for God. You receive a love for God. And I said, number two, you receive a love for God's house. You can't love God without loving His house. And he said, three, you receive a love for God's man. Because you can't love God and His house without loving His man.
Right.
So it's kind of a package deal that comes together. And there's really a wonderful visual lesson. If Brother Andy will get me the second chapter of the book of Numbers. Verse 2. And then verse 17. Brother Tory, would you put up there What I gave you. Thank Brother Tor for helping me. How about giving me the other one, and then we'll go back to that. And there you are in number chapter 2 and verse 2, then I think it's verse 17. Yes.
Every man of the children of Israel.
Yes.
Shall pitch by his own standard.
Yes.
With the ensign of their father's house.
Yes.
Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch.
Yes.
And on the east side toward the rising of the sun.
Yes.
Shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies.
Yes.
And Nashon the son of Amminadab.
Yes.
Shall be captain of the children of Judah.
Yes.
And his host and those that were numbered of them 314,600.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now go on down to verse 17. Yeah. Just give me verse 17.
Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward with the camp of the Levites.
Yes.
In the midst of the camp.
Everybody say, in the midst. This is a picture I want you to get. When they set up camp from the time they left Egypt, after God gave Moses the plan of the tabernacle in the book of Exodus, you know, in creation, hold your finger there and get me 25 and verse 7 of Exodus. Exodus 25 and 7. When they were leaving in creation, all this big world you see the stars and the moon and the sun and the galaxies and the earth and that we're so fascinated with. Brother Samuel, God covers that in two chapters. Two chapters of your Bible. God covers the creation of this world. But then the tabernacle, what does it say in 25 and 7?
Onyx stones.
Yes.
And stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate.
Let me see what I've done there. 25. I'm sorry, 8. 25 and 8, I'm sorry.
Let them make me a sanctuary.
And let them make me a sanctuary.
I may dwell among them.
In your Bible, over 40 chapters in your Bible deals with the tabernacle. 40 chapters in your Bible. Two chapters deal with the creation of the universe. And 40 chapters deal with the tabernacle. In other words, God is more concerned about meeting with us.
Yes, all right.
In worship.
Yes.
Than it was creation. Man, there's probably books upon books upon books. If you just get all the books that be wrote about creation and the universe and the stars and astrology and geometry and zoology and all that would entail the creation of the world. This room probably wouldn't fit the books that has been written about the creation of God. But God, when God was writing about creation, He gives us two chapters. Two chapters. Well, praise the Lord. Two chapters. But when God is wanting to talk about meeting with man, what does it say there in 25 and 8?
Let them make me a sanctuary. I may dwell among them.
When God wants to talk about dwelling among man, fellowshipping with man, and man fellowshipping with Him, 40 chapters in your Bible. So God feels like it's more important for man to fellowship with Him than it is for man to understand the vastness of His creation. So here in this word picture, back to verse 2 and 17. Let me read that again.
Then the tabernacle of the congregation.
Yes.
Shall set forward with the camp of the Levites.
Yes.
In the midst of the camp.
Now I am told from different, the first thing that they would do when they would set up camp, the first thing they would do before they pulled one pot out, those Levites would set the tabernacle up. I read some places that said they would have that put up anywhere from 25 to 40 minutes. They had set that up. That's how important that was to them. That you know, hey, let's get this set up. God's leading us. God's directing us. We're God's people.
Yes.
God brought us out of Egypt. He saved us with a high hand.
Yes.
He rolled back the waters of the Red Sea. He's feeding us. So the first thing we want to do, we want to set this house up. Because we want God to know, hey Lord, we need you.
Yes.
We need your help. Yes. We need your direction.
Amen.
We need your assistance. We want your fellowship. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We want the smoke going up. We want the incense going up. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. We want the brazen altar set where blood can be shed. Lord, we want you to know we're serious about this. We're your people. We belong to you. We want our fellowship with you. And then move back to the other diagram, brother. Or then I'm going to go back to this. And this diagram of the gate. Boy, I need me a long stick of some kind, don't I? But I'm not gonna have it. In this diagram of the gate, here's the gate that's on the east. These tribes would set up, which was the Levites first, and then Judah and Zebulun and Issachar, these tribes set. Then there here on the east side would be Asher and Dan, or north side, Asher and Dan and Naphtali. On the west side is Manasseh, Ephraim, and Benjamin. And on the south side is Simeon, Reuben, and Gad. And as they sat, now move it back to the other picture there, brother. Brother. Their tents surrounded the tabernacle. They surrounded the tabernacle. This tabernacle was the center of their existence. It wasn't set off way back there in the back corner somewhere. Well, praise the Lord. Well, there's a scripture running through my mind. Romans 15:4. So I said, well, what you going on with that for? And Brother Morris, 1 Corinthians 8:6, I think. You know? Brother Zimmerman, 2 Timothy 3:16 said, well, why would you mess with this? Somebody else ready for it? Brother Huggins? Hebrews 10:1. Who's got what where? Where are you at? Romans 15:4.
Whatsoever things were written aforetime.
Were written
for our learning.
They was written for our learning.
That we through patience and comfort.
That we through patience and comfort.
Of the scripture might have hope.
Yeah. So God wrote everything that's written in that Old Testament is written with us in mind. What does 1 Corinthians 8:10-6 say? These things were our examples. Those things that happened there in the wilderness were given for an example to us. Where are we at in 2 Timothy 3:16? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hebrews 10:1, what does it say? The law having a shadow of good things to come. All right, that's enough. Go back to the picture. Good job. So when you see that's why I wanted this picture. I want this in your mind. When you see this picture, there is a lesson God is telling us. I want to be the center of your life.
Amen.
I want to set, you need to set your tent around the house of God. Folks that don't get this lesson always have spiritual problems. Amen. This scripture just hit me. I think it's Luke 6:33. I'm not sure. Somebody get that, read it. That ain't it. My mind ain't thinking as sharp this morning. Maybe it's Matthew 6:33. Yeah. But seek ye first.
Kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yes.
And all these things shall be added unto you.
Back to the picture. God is trying to place in our mind. God, you know, I've seen folks have that picture, a little old thing on their back of their car, the little bumper sticker. God is my co-pilot. He ain't going to be your co-pilot. Because he don't trust your driving. Amen. He ain't going to be your co-pilot. He's either going to be the pilot, or he's not getting on board. Now we kind of make fun of that a little bit, but I wonder how many of us in our life, we work God into our, we work God into our schedule instead of working our schedule around the sinner.
Sir,
that's the picture God. That's the whole picture that God's painting here. It matter not whether you was a member of Zebulun or Naphtali or Simeon or Judah or Gad or Dan. It made no difference what tribe you belonged to. When you pitched your tent, you see that cloud hanging above there? The cloud wasn't hanging over their house. The cloud was hanging over his house. He was the cloud by day and the fire by night over his house. And you was following the cloud.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord. When they set that up, boy, what a lesson it was. They could go out in the day and old brother Donnie could say, Alec, you see where that cloud is? That's God's house. Go out the night, that fire would be, that visible fire. I said, Alec, you see where that fire is? That's God's house. You, remember, son, always keep your eye on that. Because if that begins to move, we packing up. We getting our, you know, We're not getting ahead of the cloud. We following the cloud. And there's always that constant reminder. Those that were so far, you're talking about anywhere from 3 to 5 million people. Not 200 folks. I mean, that's a pretty good sized town. Even in today's standards. But you're talking somewhere between 3 to 5 million people that was encamped in that valley. And here are all these tents. Them wasn't like little old army pup tents, Brother McFadden. I mean, these folks had 10, 11, 12 kids. Praise the Lord. I mean, a pup tent wouldn't even take care of Brother Ronnie's family. Brother Shoemaker's family. So, you know, it was a... They were big tents, and you had all your pots and your pans that you had to cook for all them. And here you get all that stuff out, get all set up, be there for a day or so, and the next thing you know, that cloud starts to pull up. And everybody say, hey, get the pots and pans! Roll the tent up. The cloud's moving. When the cloud moves, we follow the cloud. Oh, Lord, help us to have our eyes on the cloud.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
following the crowd, but we're following the cloud. That's why we don't fit into this world. We're pilgrims and strangers down here. I am an American citizen, but my first citizenship said our conversation. Amen. Paul said, Philippians 3:20, that word conversation there is literally translated citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. Have you ever wondered when Noah built that ark? God told him to build that ark. Do y'all know where the wind is at? It ain't on the side. They wasn't on a cruise ship. Hallelujah. The wind is at the top. Only place they can look is up. They wasn't looking out. Some folks sang the old song, I'd rather be on the inside looking out. Hey, I ain't on the inside looking out. I'm on the inside looking up. Amen. That's why, you know, on all the Jews, you know, God, all them things are for lesson. When God told those Jews, I believe it was in the 15th chapter, of the book of Numbers. I might give you that. Man, I shouldn't do that. Because I'm messing up a good message. I am messing up a good message. 15:37 of Numbers.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
yes.
That's
good, yeah.
Bid them that they make the fringes in the borders of their garments.
Yes.
Throughout their generations.
Yeah.
That they put upon the fringe of the borders ribbons of blue.
Yeah. Anybody ever seen any Hasidic Orthodox Jews? I mean, there ain't a lot around in Southwest Missouri, you know what I mean? You know, the Jewish population ain't real big, you know. And those that are not Hasidic Orthodox Jews, they're just old hypocrite Jews. Kind of like charismatic Pentecostals. But said, when you have your garments, you have on fringes of blue. Go ahead.
It shall be unto you for a fringe.
It shall be for a fringe.
You may look upon it.
That when you look upon that fringe.
Remember all the commandments of the Lord.
Remember all the commandments of the Lord. Yes. Yes.
That you seek not after your own heart.
Now why would God tell them, you put a fringe of blue on you? You know what God's telling? Every time they put their clothes on and they look down at that blue, you know what that's telling them? I belong to heaven. I don't belong to this world. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of God. And this blue reminds me that I'm to keep the ordinances and the statutes and the judgment of God. When y'all ladies are combing through your long, uncut hair, that reminds you, I belong to God. I'm a child of God. Well, praise the Lord. Hey, well, hallelujah. When you're wearing your modest clothes. Amen. Somebody told a young convert that's kind of making fun of him. Said, ain't those long sleeves a little hot? He said, it's cooler than hell. It's not that would save me. That I put that on. That reminds me. Ain't nobody lust after my old warty arm. Amen. My old knobby elbow. But it reminds me. It reminds me. It might not remind them, but it reminds me. Hey, I don't belong here. I get my hair cut because I don't belong here. I don't want to be a judge. That's why I said, be not conformed to this world. Well, and that literally means, do not let the world pour you into its mold. I've got the ribbon of blue. I'm looking at that ribbon of blue. Amen. No wonder. Amen. said, if you don't bow, you're going into the fire. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked down, and they had that ribbon of blue. It reminded them, hey, when it's goodbye, old world, and good morning, heaven. Abraham, I belong to God. Folks that despise standards never get a revelation of what they're all about. They just see them as laws. And in God stepping into their life. Back to that picture, brother. God's either going to be the center of your life or He's going to be no part of your life. This ain't where we come and visit. This is where we live. He is our dwelling place.
Amen.
So they set up. They're setting up in Junior. Daddy's gonna be busy, but you keep an eye on that cloud, Mama. I'm gathering us something to eat. You keep an eye on that cloud. And then maybe somebody might say, you know what? I don't think that's necessary to have that tabernacle. You know, it'd be better to have the store in the middle of the house. Some folks, Walmart's the middle of their life.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't talking about Brad either. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's just working there. Amen. Some lady, Walmart's the middle of their life.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. You keep talking about Walmart, and they get all excited and thrilled and ready to go.
Yeah.
And dragging in church, praise the Lord. But this is a picture. This is a picture. Brother Huggins, God's trying to tell me in this picture, God and His house is to be the center of my life. That's the center. And I work everything around that. I've known folks that got offers for jobs in Timbuktu. Pick up and run off from across and not even know there was a church there. How stupid can you be? Had a fellow one time, of course, you know, I know there's work situations that nobody can help, and I'm not picking at you, okay? If there's a work situation you got, you can't help. God understands that. But I tell you what, if you're having to work during church, and you love God, you're hating it. You're asking for God to make a way.
That's right.
Well, praise God.
Praise God.
I had this one fella, he wanted us to pray that God would get him, move him to day shift. And we prayed. We prayed. He got on day shift. And he's on there for a few months. Next thing I know, he's mistress. And his wife is a worse Tommy. So I went back on second shift. Went on second shift. So I'm sitting waiting on him. I said, Brother Tommy. He said, well, I just needed the money so bad they gave me a raise. I said, how much? A nickel an hour. I said, a nickel an hour? $2 a week? You're missing church for $8 a month? And I put my arm around him. I said, look, Tommy, I love you, but you sold out cheap. Yeah, praise the Lord. I hate to tell you the story. He's not in church today. The majority of his kids are not in church today. Him and his wife's home is busted up. But he got that nickel and hour raise. That $2 really, I said, Tommy, I'd have gave you $2 a week. I gave you $2 to come to church. So, well, man, if you just said so. But Tommy never got this picture that this was where his life was to be built around. Well, praise the Lord. Like I'm teaching, playing a piano solo in a Church of Christ convention around here. Amen. But this is... Brother Morris read this scripture. And I've got a rope down here I was going to use. You know, when you lay out a church, your perception gets warped.
All right.
Asap said, he read it today. Asap said, you know, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, I heard no preacher on the radio preaching years ago. I thought it was good. He said, I drove by this mansion house. That guy's living in that $500,000 home. That was years ago when a $500,000 home was a $500,000 home. Y'all do understand what I'm talking about. And he said, he had a Mercedes Benz in his driveway. He had a big old Olympic size swimming pool in his backyard. I looked and he had a trailer and a big old boat on that trailer. He had a big motorcycle outside. I could tell it was worth a lot of money. He said, is he happy? I said, yeah, you better believe he's happy. Amen. But said, this ain't all of it. And when he leaves here, that's all he's got.
That's right. Amen.
When they buried this guy the other day that just died at Jobs, in his 20s, he was worth millions of dollars. In his 20s. Those few inventions that he had. And Malta, he was a billionaire. He had more money, he couldn't even start to spend it all. Billions of dollars. But you know what? They wouldn't know U-Haul behind that hearse. Because it's certain you came in this world with nothing and you're leaving with nothing.
That's right.
You came here naked and somebody happened to change you. And you're going to leave here naked and somebody's going to have to change you. Well, praise the Lord. And the only thing, you know, the only thing you're going to have is what you've invested there. Somebody said, do you know how much Rockefeller left? He left all of it. He didn't take a nickel of it with him.
Amen.
Oh, so that's why that story about the rich man and Lazarus is so valuable. You know, we don't even know the rich man's name. Somebody tell me his name. You don't know his name. Huh? You know Lazarus' name. The rich man had everything and Lazarus had nothing. But somewhere in Lazarus' life that the story don't convey at all, Lazarus was a child of God. And although he had nothing here, when he made it there, he had everything. We don't know who the rich man's pallbearers was, but the angels was Lazarus' pallbearers. And when the rich man made his bed in hell, even Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. Oh, I want Jesus to be the center of my joy. Sang the old song, on the other side, treasures there have I. Treasures that this world and all its wealth could never buy. And when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'll find my treasures waiting on the other side. I'm sending them on ahead. I'm laying up my treasures in heaven. I'm laying up prayers and living for God and consecration and dedication and praise and worship and going to church and staying true.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm building my, I learned this lesson. I'm building my, I'm pitching my tent around his tent. Now, tradition says, whether it's right or not, I don't know. But tradition says one thing that's wrong about these pictures. The tradition says that when they would set that, that all of their doors, when they looked out their door, they'd be looking toward the tabernacle. I want my door looking at his door. There's another object lesson, if I can find it. It's in the 8th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Yeah. Verse 16, there's a lot of stuff in here. But verse 16. What's it, 8 and 16? Ezekiel 8 and 16. Yeah.
He brought me into the inner court.
Yes.
Of the Lord's house.
Yes.
And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord.
Yes.
Between the porch and the altar.
Yes.
Were about 25 men.
Yes.
With their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east.
There are a lot of folks that their back is toward the temple of the Lord. Their face ought to be. But they're giving God their back. Well, praise the Lord. Their face should be. But instead, they're giving that. That's why they're called backsliders. They give God their back. They don't give God their front. That's just very rude when somebody's talking to you. You to turn your back. There's, you know, that's letting them know what they're saying to you is really not important. Well, these folks, they were worshiping the sun anyhow, but their back is toward, they're giving God their back. I don't want God to get my back. That means God's in back of me instead of in front of me. I don't want God's house to be in back of me. I want God's house to be in front of me. Amen. So they're building their... Give me Psalm 27, 4 and 5. Psalm 27, 4 and 5. Yes.
One thing have I desired of the Lord.
Some folks' prayer request list is too long. And on their, they start their list. The first line has me. The second line has me. The third line has me. The fourth line has me. The fifth line has me. The sixth line has me. The seventh line has mine. Oh, praise the Lord. And me and mine and me and mine and me and mine. Then they finally way down here. They come up with them. Me, my, them. And the whole prayer request list. They've got that whole list down. And a house and a car and a husband and a wife, and a raise, and them folks been talking about me, get them, and they don't like me, get them, and their whole list, and they got the whole prayer request list, and they give that to God, and God's not. God never says about them, a man after my own heart. know, some folks really want to capitalize on the one sin that David committed. And it was horrid. And he paid for it the rest of his life. He's forgiven. But you know what? There were other sins David committed. He numbered the children of Israel. There were other sins. But you know what? One of the writers writing back about David said, in all David did, he sinned not, saving the time of Uriah, the Hittite's wife. That's the blot on his record. But when God got ready to talk about David, He made you aware of his sin because He wants you to know you cannot sin. You can't sow and not reap. You can get all the forgiveness you want, but if you plant that crop, you're going to reap it. So the lesson is, when you get through reaping the last row, don't plant anymore. Because if you plant it, you are going to reap it. God's forgiveness is not going to harvest your crop for you. It's going to forgive you for sowing it, but you're going to pick all the ears of corn off. But when God is talking about David, with his failures, he said, a man after my own heart. He's got the blot there. You're going to remember the blot. I want you to remember that. Sin has a price tag to it. But then he said, you know, there's something about David. And I think this is it. What does he say?
One thing have I desired of the Lord.
You know what happened? Oh, Saul's chasing him down, trying to slay him. Hunting him, trying to kill him. And when Saul dies on Mount Gabor there, you know what David does? He says, shh, shh, tell it not in Gath. We don't need to be publicizing the failures of God's children. If you help me, Jesus.
Come on, brother.
Let me tell everybody in this house. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. Somewhere in your life, you or your family are going to need God's mercy.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Everybody. Without exception.
Uh-huh. Right. That's right.
And if you don't show any, then you're not going to get any. David was a man after God's own heart. Saul has died, and they come, old Doeg come running and saying, hey buddy, Saul's dead. The guy's been chasing you. He's dead. And David's heart. What do you mean? Yeah. Said, I passed along and he fell on his own sword. And he was there dying. And it wouldn't do him in. So I just stood on him till the sword went all the way through him. David's enemy. David said, cut this dog in half. And he said, shh, shh. They don't need to know in Gath that one of us has fallen. Shh. Brother, if you tell your sinful relatives and kinfolks of the faults and failures of the saints of God, you'll never get them to the house
That's
of
right.
God.
Amen. 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 That's right.
We don't need to publish that. Amen. Amen. Folks that always want to hear every bad thing anybody does, listen. Any bad thing that you know about Brother Chancey, which I doubt there's any, but if perchance there was, it won't help you. It'll hurt you. And Chancey may get it under the blood. Then the only person there may be in some time in your life that can come to your aid may be this fella.
That's right. Amen.
And you killed his place in your heart.
Uh-huh. Oh, go ahead. That's good, Elder. Amen.
Amen. I had a Sunday school teacher. Her name was Sister Millie Robinson. Don't never discount Sunday school. Don't never think, my Sunday school is away. Don't never discount Sunday school. She told us in class, she walked upon us. We was talking about one of the young people. I forget who we was talking about, but it don't matter. It's been so long. Sister Millie, I can see her right now. She put them glasses on the end of her nose. He said, children, you be careful talking about what somebody did yesterday because you don't know how much praying they did last night. And they may have it under the blood. And God will be mad at you. Now, I wish I could tell you that I've always honored that. I haven't. And you ain't either. But I wish I had. Well, praise the Lord. What can you say, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So, he said one thing. David said it, and David's fault. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Your request sheet's too long. Most of the things that you're praying for, if you'll really do right, God will take care of
it.
My dad-in-law years ago, he had a guy in the church praying, and he was really praying and down there agonizing and hollering. And so my dad-in-law went over to him and said, son, what's the matter? He said, Brother Abernathy, I'm praying I've got to have $100 by tomorrow. My dad-in-law took $100 out and gave it to him and said, hey, I got him working on something a little bit more. Don't bother him with that, please. Here's $100. I got him working on a bigger project. So we'll take care of it. Hey, that took care of it. Your prayer's been answered. We take care of that right now. So one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Oh, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Here's my request, God. I don't have. You guys got a pencil. You can tell I ain't going to say nothing worth remembering. Praise the Lord. I'm the world's worst. One thing. Hey, Lord. One thing. Sunday morning, so turn to my request, Lord. One thing. Tuesday. One thing. Wednesday. One thing, Lord. Thursday. One thing. Friday. One thing. Saturday. Sabbath. One thing I desire of the Lord. I'm going to seek after that. You know what seeking means? I'm going to search after that. When you're seeking, you're making some planning. You're making some effort in it. I'm going to make some effort on this request. One thing of the Lord, and that will I seek after. What? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I'm going to tell you right now, I've had a lot of faults. I've had a lot of failures. I've had a lot of ups. I've had a lot of downs. I have failed. I have sinned. Well, praise the Lord. But I tell you one thing that I haven't thought. I'm not contemplating backsliding. That's never been in my mind. That's never been in my thought. That's not part.
the days of my life.
Yeah.
Woo! I said, I got my mind made up. If you don't have your mind made up, you're not going to make it. Hey, Lord, I've sinned, but I still got the desire. One thing, I'm desired of the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hang in there.
Yeah.
Hey, how old are you, Chancy? How old are you? 14. Hallelujah. I was 14 many moons ago. I know it's hard to think that. I even had some hair when I was 14. Not a whole lot of it, but I had some. But you know what? At 14 years old, we was looking for somewhere to go to church. Well, praise the Lord. Some of you old heads around here, they'd have them revivals. Sister Trippett, them revivals. And all of them wouldn't raise the dead and casting out devils. Some of them was deader than a doornail. The music was awful. The guitar was out of tune. The song leader couldn't sing. Well, praise the Lord. We wasn't, you know, all them services you hear about them kicking the dust up. I was in service when they wasn't kicking the dust up. They was dry and dead. But you know what we was? Brother Harold, 7 days a week. They didn't know no rest night. 7 days a week. That's 14 years old. But you know what it did? It kept me from being a fornicator.
All right. Yes. Amen.
I didn't have time to be trying out all the things of the world. Amen. We come home from school, went to pray, cleaned up, and came to church. And I'm going to tell you, staying in church will keep you out of trouble.
Amen.
Stay in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody said an idle mind is a death. I don't think we need less church in 2011. Oh, God. Praise the Lord. What happens with young men? What happens with young people? Let me tell you, young folk. I won't embarrass them. Are you okay? So please don't. How old are you, Joseph?
15.
I got the Holy Ghost when I was 11. And at 15, I'd probably read the Bible through 20 times. At least when I was 15. You kept you busy. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was my first love. One thing I've desired, Lord. I want to hang in His house. I learned the secret of not backsliding. My pastor, all the wonderful Bible lessons, he taught me bunches of them and good messages. But the most valuable thing that I think he ever told me that has stuck in my head through all these years is when you go to church, get touched. Either get touched in prayer meeting or get touched in preaching.
Amen.
Or get touched. Don't leave till you get touched. Touch.
Amen.
Now, I don't mean stand on your head or turn a flip or roll in the floor, but you make sure when you go, when you leave, God knows you've been there.
Right.
Hey, Lord!
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
To behold, what does it say, Brother Andy? To behold the beauty of the Lord. Because it straightens my mind out. If church loses its beauty to you, you're not going to make it.
Amen.
You just lay out of church. Just lay out. And just make a habit of laying out. What's really happened is the beauty has been lost. It no longer has its beauty. You need to be praying David's prayer request. Lord, I want to see you. You remember when you first got the Holy Ghost and all the saints were really saints? I mean, they had to lay down their halo at night to go to bed. I never will forget the first time somebody said something about a person in our church. The best way I could describe it, I went ape on them. And come find out, they're telling the truth. Just telling about this man in our church. And they said, he's got a filthy mouth. I said, that's a lie. He's got the Holy Ghost. You can't have the Holy Ghost and have a filthy mouth. Man, I defended him. That ain't so. Boy, I defended him. A few days later, I went and told the guy. I said, man, they're telling bad things on you. Don't you worry. I defended you. So what did they say? They said, it worked. You had a filthy mouth. I told him that wasn't so. And I could tell by the look on his face that it was the truth. But he dropped his head. Guarantee you, he's a little more careful. That's the beauty of the Lord. We was in here on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and the Holy Ghost was moving. People was getting touched and blessed and helped. The beauty of the Lord. Got my prayers answered in church. Got the Holy Ghost in church. Got baptized in Jesus' name. I learned that Jesus was God in church. I heard about the second coming in church. I heard about the blood and mercy and grace and judgment to come. I heard about it in church. I heard about heaven where the street is gold and the walls are jasper and the gates are pearl where there's no more dying. Well, glory to God. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. I learned about it in church. I learned about it in church. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, all the cancers will be healed. The diabetes will be healed. The arthritis will be healed. Oh, praise God. The heart trouble will be healed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, I learned about it in church. Never wet my pillow with a tear again. Never had one weary. Never had one trouble. Never have any anxiety. Where all is peace and joy in the kingdom. Even the kingdom to come that's going to be in the 1,000 years. Even the Bible said even the lion shall lay down by the lamb. And so they'll study war no more. And nothing shall hurt or destroy. In all my holy mountain. The beauty of the Lord. Verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. Sister Groover, if he comes, if that trumpet sound, Brother Kemp, if that trumpet was to sound, maybe our ear can't hear it, I don't know. But if that trumpet sounds, and your dad and mom comes up out of that grave, before they've ascended 25 feet, the white will leave this hair. The wrinkles will leave this hair, this body. All everything that ages, oh, glory to God. Oh, I can hear old Brother Kim now. Hey! Hold up! Wait for me! Amen. You was the first, but I'm on my way. I'm meeting you in the air. I learned that in God's house. Yes. Talking about the beauty of the Lord. Yes. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Yes. In a moment, in the twitching of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, I learned that in God's house. Yes. Woo! Yes. Glory. 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 All the trials and the struggles and the tests and the worries. Over in an instant. And you say, praise the Lord. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. You're turning and you're saying, Daddy, what do you want for breakfast? And the next thing you know, those eyes are open. That shakiness is gone. And I said, Mama, you look like you did when I fell in love with you. Woo! Change! I'm going to hang in here, Sister Langston. The change is coming.
Yes.
It ain't always going to stay like it is. I come to tell somebody, Sister Veda, the change is coming. The change is coming. To behold the beauty. To behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire at His temple. I've got a scripture. You still there in Psalms? Give me the next verse. Then we're going to Colossians 3 and 4. Amen. Somebody help me. Brother Morris, Colossians 3 and 4. Then we're going to... I'm closing down. You was in verse number 4. Put the picture back up, Brother Tory. I'm pitching my tent around the tabernacle. I'm pitching my tent around His house. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Oh, I love you, Jesus. What does it say? The next verse.
The Lord at thy right hand.
Did I strike through
kings in the day of his wrath?
No, you're in 27 and Psalms 27 and 4. I'm so sorry. 27 and 5. And to inquire his...
In the time of trouble,
in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion.
In the secret of his tabernacle.
In the secret of his tabernacle.
Shall he hide me. He shall set me upon rock.
Brother Kim's a hunter, fisher, so he really understands this. You know what a sanctuary is? That means no hunting. You're safe here, no hunting. That's what the church is. All day long, Brother Obed, we're out here fighting the devil, the world, and the flesh. But we come in here for a little reprieve. And God puts a big sign up. No, honey. You're safe here. This is His hiding place. What does it say in Colossians 3 and 4? When Christ, who is our life, Christ who is our life. Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then we, what? Then ye also shall appear with Him in glory. Christ, who is our life. Why don't you raise your hand? Love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, la la ma sanda la la mahanda ya. Yelo mo shanda la la ma yanda la la ma sanda. Jesus. Jesus. That's my key. I want to sing this to Him. The Lord. Jesus. You're the center of my joy, of my joy, all that's good and perfect comes from you. Of my contentment, oh, for all I do, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Why don't you stand and sing it with me? Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. I mean it, Jesus. You're the heart of my contentment. Hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Let's sing it right to Him. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Yes, my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. Center of my joy, Jesus, you are the center of my joy, Jesus,
you're the center of my joy.
Job has just buried his 10 kids. All of his wealth is gone. Now his health is gone. And his three friends come there and spend 7 days just looking at him. Then they begin to give their dissertation why he was in the shape he was in. None of them had any idea. Folks have all kind of opinions about why folks are in the shape they're in, but they really have no idea. Finally, on in the chapter of Job, there's a lot of groaning in the book of Job. Say, Job never complained. You never read the book of Job. But in that, on in that chapter, Job said, tell you what, I know my Redeemer liveth. In the last days, He's going to come and stand upon this earth. Say, what I'm going to do, all my appointed time. I'm just going to wait till my change comes. I come to tell somebody today, hold on. Change is coming. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Don't let the weeping swallow you up in the night. But just as sure as night is dark, morning is bright, and the sun will chase away the darkness of the night. Saint of God, it's going through the dark period in your life. Sun's getting ready to shine. Don't be a victim of the night. Said Judas went out into the night. That was natural night. But he went out into an eternal night. Folks do crazy things at nighttime. They get scared. They can't see. You know what's best to do at night? Stand still. You won't fall in a hole if you stand still. You won't break a leg if you stand still. You won't get hurt if you just stand still. To behold the beauty of the Lord, night is leaving and day is coming on. Can you love it one more time? Of my joy, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Jesus, you're the center.